This week's presenting sponsor of the Infamous Podcast is once again the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. The Ohio Toy and Comic Show takes place on Sunday, July 23rd at the Fairborn Dayton Holiday Inn, right across the street from Wright State University. Doors open at 10 a.m. and admission is only $2 for adults. Kids 12 and under are free. They'll have artists, vendors, cosplayers, and hourly door prizes. Plus, you get a chance to meet me and Johnny at the Infamous Podcast table. We'll have shirts for sale and other great giveaways. Find out more information about the guest list and vendors and who all will be at the Ohio Toy and Comic Show at www.ohiotoyandcomicshow.com, or you can find them on Facebook. See you at the show. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode number 100.
Johnny, really. Here.
No. It's not really 100?
No, because we've done specials and stuff.
Well,
like that,
so. But I mean, this is the Infamous Podcast proper.
This is the number 100. It's Brian's 100th episode.
It's your 80-something.
I don't know.
90-something.
I don't remember.
Anyway, it's forever ago. All right, so this week we continue our series of action movie monsters. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the 1987 classic Predator. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, we would be remiss if we didn't...
We're going to bring it down.
Have a little RIP. A little RIP for Adam West.
Yeah.
The OG Batman. Now,
no, when he's not the original Batman.
I guess he's not, but for me he is. When you think of Batman, who do you think of first?
The guy in the comic books.
Okay, live action Batman. Let's be a little more specific then.
Either him or Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Christian Bale too.
See, I go back and forth between Michael Keaton and Adam West because we were of that age where this show ran ad nauseum on reruns.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. And we were always
the USA
in.
Network.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, it's really sad, and I didn't realize. Did you realize he was sick?
That they said it was like kind of not like something that had happened slowly. He just like leukemia.
Yeah, he had leukemia and then just went.
Yeah,
it's really sad. He was 88. He looked great for 88 years old. You know, so it'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see what they do on Family Guy because he's the mayor of Quahog.
The mayor will die probably.
Yeah.
Peter will become mayor.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway.
If you do that, Seth MacFarlane, give me a story credit at least.
Yep. So anyway.
The last name spelled P-O-T-T-O-R-F.
So you're looking for your IMDb credit page to be created?
Yes.
So
just for that one
just
thing.
For that.
Hey, my uncle's got an IMDb page.
Oh really?
Just for one movie. So.
Nice. So yeah, it's sad. You know, I mean he was an older fellow, that's for sure. But
I look at it as you know, he died. You know, at least we got the performances out of him and we did. Be grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know.
I think he I've been
it doesn't affect me on a level where I'm like, you know, I can't leave my house. No. It's like, you know, okay. In the real world, people die.
Right.
And, you know, he won't be dead because he's got all that he did, you know, besides Batman, The Outer Limits, and mm-hmm. other things that he did that will, for generations, people will know who Adam West is.
Right.
Just like they'll know who Leonard Nimoy is mm-hmm. and, you know, all the others that have passed on that we grew up with.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that it's another one of these guys like Leonard Nimoy that we've grown up with.
I mean,
and
but the thing is like, what, last year or this year, the Green Hornet died too. So,
yeah.
You know,
but anyway, it's
I
just,
mean, it sucks.
It's okay. Definitely something we needed to just bring up and mention because
he was a cool
of what we talked about. You met him a couple times, right?
I met him.
He was here.
I met him once, like, and actually got to talk to him for about 10 minutes and then in passing. Hi, Adam, you know, and all that type of stuff. But, yeah, there was one time he was at a convention and surprisingly did not have a line.
Huh.
And I walked up and, you know, introduced myself and got my autograph and, you know, just chatted. Yeah. Me and my girlfriend chatted with Adam West for about 10 minutes. And it was like, then somebody else walked up and I went, have a good day. Have a good convention. And he's like, you have a good one too. Yeah. And it's like, all right.
You have a great bat day as well.
Well, he was one that was actually, you know, because celebrities sometimes aren't like physical. They don't want to be physical with people. But he shook my hand and all that. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, it's like, you know, I got my hand shook by a Batman. So, you know, that's cool. Nice guy.
Have you met any of the other Batmans?
No.
Okay.
I know Val Kilmer's doing conventions, but I haven't met him yet.
Okay.
And that and George Clooney, I haven't met. Cool. Surprisingly.
Yeah, that is surprising.
He would be one that I would, like, you know, think that I might run into once in a while. I've met his mom.
Yeah. Well, Adam was just at the Cincinnati Comic Expo a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was like two, three years before
Stanley, yeah. I think. So him and Burt Ward. It's sad.
But, I mean,
it's one of those things.
It's one of those things where
you make an excellent point. It's gonna he'll continue to live on.
Yeah, it's literally. I mean, Burgess Meredith, Cesar Romero, Frank Gorshin have been dead for years, but all you have to do is put in a DVD and they're alive.
Yeah.
And because it's like, you know, their spirit lives on and what they've done and, you know, the people that they've touched and affected. I mean, it's the same as Leonard Nimoy. I mean,
right.
You know, he touched a lot of people. Adam touched a lot of people, you know, in different ways.
Right.
And it's just one of those things where, yeah, it sucks and, you know, it's sad, but life goes on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never like heard anything majorly negative about him.
Yeah, I don't ever remember hearing anything.
I know he was, you know, him and Burt were bad boys when they did Batman. So, you know, it's the 60s.
It was a different time. All right. So, you saw Wonder Woman?
Oh, I was going to say one other thing with Adam West. I did read an article today. There's another of the animated features with him coming out where him and Burt and the cast did voices. And they confirmed that he did complete all his recordings, so you know they said it'll be released like it's supposed to be released.
Okay,
and that it's just people were worried about. Yeah, it's the return of Two-Face or the Two-Face or something like that.
Okay,
yeah, it's supposed to be a '60s Two-Face.
Oh, cool
story. Okay, so.
Well, that would be worth checking out for sure.
I know that Julie Newmar recorded it for it too. So,
okay, very cool. All right, you saw Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit, my thoughts last week. Yeah. What were your just, you know, impressions of it after having, because you, this is weird for you to wait so long to see a movie like this.
Well, and it was pretty much like an opening weekend still. It was very crowded in there.
Okay.
And it beat The Mummy.
Yeah.
So
not worldwide though.
Yeah, but it still beat The Mummy.
I get it. Well, here, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if it beats, if a movie that's been out for 2 weeks or a week
beats whatever the next
beats what the new release is, and you know people are buying tickets to it.
Mm-hmm.
Something weird.
Yeah, I wonder if it's gonna how it'll do against Cars this week.
I don't think it'll. I think Cars is gonna do better than they think it's gonna do.
It looks so good.
Yeah, compared to the last one, so
we'll have to talk about that because I imagine we'll both see that opening weekend.
But I don't know if I'll see it opening weekend. I got to work. So.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But it, you know, if DC could do all their movies like that with a legitimate, like, story.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it was an origin story, it was a solid story. It wasn't broken up. Like, you know, Man of Steel, a lot of the issues with that are that the origin story is told in broken up pieces.
Right.
When it could have just been one story and then,
right,
you know, moved on. Like the first hour, that could have been him as a kid.
Yeah.
And the second hour could have been him as an adult, and it would have totally made sense.
We should recut it and see what happens.
Yeah. You got the money or the time?
We've got a... I've got...
Are we going to invite Tobey Maguire over too? Maybe we could trade
Topher
movies.
Grace.
Oh, is that Topher Grace? Yeah. I thought it was Tobey.
No, Topher Grace we did.
Oh, Topher did. Okay. Well, he's got time.
He was he's in that new movie that came out on Netflix with Brad Pitt.
He's got time. It's a Netflix joint.
Anyway.
No.
But so you liked it.
I really of all of the DC, like this DC cinematic universe, yeah. That's the one I like the most so far.
But isn't that saying like I'd rather break my hand than my arm?
No. I'm
being sarcastic, you know.
It kept you guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Ares was really one of those ones where it was like, you know, the villain is Ares, obviously. Yeah. People know that. But it kept you guessing on who it was,
yeah.
Which I thought was a smart way to do
it. The red herring aspect.
Ares was a
to it.
Solid villain, mm-hmm. compared to Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah.
Where Lex Luthor
Hello,
was...
Hello, boys.
Yes. Yeah, ugh. I mean, if we're comparing what the villains of all the movies that have come out, Michael Shannon was probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, girl, whoever played Ares was probably
Lupin.
Second best.
Yeah. That was Lupin from...
No, you're not supposed to spoil it. Oh. People still haven't seen the movie.
God. Do you see...
Now you're going to have to go on that.
Did you see Mormont was in there? The Lord Commander?
Yeah, yeah. He played the general. Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
The general who sucked.
he killed a mutiny too in this one too.
If
so
I had
weird.
To rank them,
yeah.
I mean, Michael Shannon did a really good job as Zod.
He was great as Zod. He was the second best part of that movie.
Ares was good, second probably.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like him that much, the Joker.
Yeah.
Was a good villain. You know.
I think Amanda Waller before the Joker, as far as
like
villains
that
go.
Movie is just full of villains to the point that you can't rank right. them. I mean, not Empress.
Enchantress
was really good too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that was a cool.
I'm
villain.
Excited to see her in Valerian.
Yeah, so. And then Lex Luthor's the worst of all the villains in all the movies
ever.
So you know that Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
They could have brought Gene Hackman back. Jeez,
he's retired.
Money will pull anybody out of retirement.
So Kevin Spacey's not doing anything.
He's the one.
Sorry, just came out. Yeah. Anyway, I was just going off your Topher Grace
if
thing.
If he played his Lex Luthor in Superman Returns like he plays the character in House of Cards, that movie would still be like, when are we getting that sequel?
Yeah, no kidding. So.
Because Brandon Routh did a good job as Superman.
I feel like Brandon Routh and Kevin Spacey got screwed.
Because they were just playing characters that had been played by other actors?
They got so screwed by Bryan Singer, it's not even funny.
Yeah, well, so. You know, you're playing Christopher Reeve and you're playing Gene Hackman.
You have Brandon Routh, you have Sam Huntington, you have Kevin Spacey in the same movie.
I mean, Kate Beckinsale's not a bad actress.
She was just the wrong choice.
Yeah.
You know, she's a good actress. She just is nothing of her screams Lois Lane.
Nothing of her screen Margot Kidder as Lois Lane.
Wow.
I mean, literally, yeah. When they were casting that movie, it's like everybody, they had to be looking at everybody as compared to.
I will say this. I'm happy, of all the things that Zack Snyder's done, I'm happy he's distancing Superman from the Richard Donner mythology.
Yeah.
Because Smallville trapped in that. Supergirl even a little bit is trapped
in
that.
Well, the Richard Donner movie is a solid movie.
And
it's still probably the best superhero movie that is a single superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's probably still the best one. And, you know, for people to base stuff off of that makes sense because it is a good movie. Yeah. And, you know, it's a good comic book movie, but it is a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, there's still questionable things in it, too.
Right.
Turning around time and everything was like,
All you have to do is
But if
fly
you watch the Donner
the
cut
Earth.
Of Superman 2, it makes more sense.
Right, right. Did you see John Landis's comments about Wonder Woman and the Marvel Universe and the Marvel movies? He was saying that he's bored with the Marvel movies, that they're... And it's like, what...
That's because he probably wanted to direct.
What do you want to direct that Marvel didn't let you direct and that you're trying to angle for DC? And like, honestly, when's the last time John Landis made a good movie?
When did John Landis make a movie?
The last movie of his I liked, I think, whichever came first, it was either Animal House or Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember other Max Landis movies.
John Landis.
John Landis movies. Thank you.
I mean, that's because those are the movies he's known for.
So Wonder Woman is bringing out this like divisive nature, which is an interesting conversation that I've enjoyed looking at.
I just get tired of the, you know.
But it also has done a tremendous disservice with the qualifier that goes in front of everything.
My opinion of that, the, you know, the divisiveness of it is go watch the movie because she'll teach you that mm-hmm. it's not a divisiveness.
No.
It's all about love, really. Right. I mean, you know.
Love. Love will yeah. keep us together.
Well, I mean, it's the it's the whole thing of, you know, you see her working with men and, right. you know, men working with her and treating her as, you know, pretty an much equal. An equal. And it's like, get over it.
Yeah.
Just watch the movie and get over it. Because, you know, in the end, what they do in that movie should be what it happens now.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is you hear all this. Well, it's the first female-led superhero movie. What about Tank Girl? What about Supergirl?
Tank Girl wasn't known as a comic book movie. Yeah.
But I mean, it's still, there and have been ones
don't
in the
ever
past.
Mention the Supergirl movie because that's just abysmal.
Yeah, well, but it was still, I mean.
It's better than Superman 4, but that's not saying much.
I liked it better than Superman 3.
Well,
so.
It's not saying much either.
Yeah. Anyway.
You're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. But so I don't know.
That'll be our next month. Thing we'll be watching the worst comic
no,
book movies.
Don't
ever.
Do that to me. Don't do that to me. Okay, no, we have to do like some kind of poll to figure out which ones they are, so that like
oh,
it's
I could,
just not
I could
just
do a poll.
Picking.
I mean, anyway. You know.
All right.
It's,
so
it's the which ones will I never own on Blu-ray poll.
I mean, it only dropped 45%.
Like I said, our theater.
So it did really well.
Our theater was full.
Yeah.
Luckily, like the people who sat in front of us, the perfume flared up her allergies and we moved because later on they got so loud that you could hear people shushing them.
Oh.
And then I'm like, if I would have been sitting down there, I would have got kicked out.
Yeah. You'd have beat you.
And
we've
seen Pirates
up.
Of the Caribbean also.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's That's better the, than the last one.
Okay, so I didn't. That was with
on
Penelope
Tides.
Cruz.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I like that one too.
Really,
but this one was better. Because
I stopped liking the Pirates movies at the first one.
I'd say yeah, the first one is my favorite.
Yeah,
and this one
is it a reboot? Like, are they?
No,
not,
it's not.
I mean,
it's not
like
a
is
reboot.
It not a reboot, but like a like. Hey, we're going to kick off with a new cast kind of a thing and continue with Will Turner's kid instead of...
Jack's there.
Is Keira Knightley in it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But
okay.
It's not that long. She's not in it that long.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I just watched Bennett like back
in
the
younger
the other
cast.
Night and, you know, it's like, oh, Keira Knightley.
It's just, you're you so know, lovely. They introduce a younger
okay.
cast because
yeah,
obviously
so, I mean, that's
you
what
have
I'm talking
to,
about, like, to
it's,
reboot.
Yeah, it's
like,
not a reboot because, so. It, I mean, rebooting means introducing yeah. all new actors as the characters.
Right.
And this is doing the generational thing.
Yeah, it's
and
the
it,
next
it,
generation.
Yeah, okay. And it's literally like they make it make sense.
Okay.
And they make what happened in the last one make sense in the continuity.
Okay.
So my advice is when you watch the movies, watch them all the way through the credits because the last of the trilogy, that last scene mm-hmm. credit scene ties to this movie.
So do I have to see On Stranger Tides to
you
understand
do not
what's happening
have
in
to
this
see
one?
On Stranger Tides. I would say to watch it. You can borrow it from me.
Yeah. Oh, you still got to bring me Split.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway.
But On Stranger Tides is a different movie because they based it off of a novel.
Okay.
That wasn't nothing to do with Pirates of the Caribbean and just threw Jack and Barbossa into
okay.
the story.
Good to know.
And that. So, but I mean, what's his name that plays Blackbeard? Swearingen. From
Ian McShane.
Yeah, Ian McShane is really good. It's Blackbeard.
Wait. I thought it was Javier Bardem.
No, he's in the new one. He plays Captain Salazar.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Blackbeard is Ian McShane.
Yeah.
Who was really good as Blackbeard.
I mean,
and
what is Ian McShane not good in?
Penelope Cruz was good.
Yeah.
She's not, I mean, really. And I mean, for them, you know, shoehorning a story with Jack and Barbossa.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay. You want to talk about a good, bad movie with Ian McShane? It's Hot Rod. With Andy Samberg,
Where I've seen part of that, and it's funny.
I love that movie. Like,
it's
a funny movie.
I'm under but it's not great.
Like, I'm under no like delusion that it's not a bad movie. But man, if that movie's on, I will watch it. Like, you know, I was legitimately sad. I was legitimately sad when they took it off of Netflix.
Yeah.
No, but he's great. Ian McShane is awesome. I'll watch that guy do anything.
I mean, I remember seeing him in like The Legend of the Seeker.
Yeah.
And I think he plays one of the bears in The Golden Compass.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So
him and Ian McKellen.
He was good in his one little episode on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
Set the Hound on the right path.
Yeah.
That comes back in a couple weeks.
And I need to watch American Gods after it. The finale's this week, I think.
So when American Gods ends, I'm going to do the Stars free preview.
Sure.
And watch it all, and then we can talk about it. So, yeah. All right, cool. You want to talk about Predator?
Yeah.
All right. So, first off, this is the third, like, completely unintentional.
Second movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but James Cameron did not direct this one.
But the fact that it's the 30th anniversary this week.
Yeah, we didn't plan
that. We did not plan that, but yeah. It is the second Arnold Schwarzenegger one because...
I mean, you know, it's going to be the 30th anniversary of RoboCop next month, and we're doing that next week.
Yeah, so anyway, we did not plan for these, but hey, whatever. All right, so I rewatched... I told you I rewatched this. I posted on Facebook that I was watching it.
Yeah.
Doing homework for the show. I fell asleep, not because I was bored and not because it's bad. It's because I didn't start watching it until like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I got up and I watched it at the end. That being said, I love the pace of this film.
Yeah.
The tension that John McTiernan is able to build up with a bunch of tough guys trouncing through a South American jungle is just fan-freaking-tastic.
And he literally got the right guy to do the music.
Yeah.
Alan Silvestri does the music for this. Yep. And literally, it's like one of those ones where it just starts out like, I don't know if John McTiernan and John Carpenter are friends, but the beginning of this is very similar to the beginning of The Thing with a ship coming to Earth. But literally, like, you get that, and then you get helicopters flying into hot area, and it's like just the way the music builds up. And then when they're in the jungle and there's the background, you can hear the music in the background, but it's not enough that you're like distracted by it.
Right.
But every time that something bad happens, the music goes up and then goes back down.
Right. Right. So, I mean, let's just talk about this cast a little bit before we get into it. You have Schwarzenegger as Dutch, who the thing I like best about Dutch is he's this team guy, right? He's all about his team and his guys.
Yeah.
Until he doesn't have a team or guys left. And then you realize what a badass this dude really
is. That he's like, the predator.
Yeah.
Much.
Like it's like while I was watching it, I kind of was at a point where it's like, okay, like I forgot how subdued Schwarzenegger was at the beginning, especially with Carl Weathers' Dylan character.
Right. Because they had worked together, but like,
but there was no trust there. Dylan went to the CIA.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger stayed in the army, or Dutch stayed in the army. Bill Duke is Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bill Duke. The way he emotes just with his eyes alone.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, if you wanted to have someone, if you wanted to have someone as Bane, like Bill Duke in his prime, like if you have the apparatus,
yeah, he would have been good.
Like, he would have been great.
Yeah.
You have Jesse Ventura as Blaine.
I got time to bleed.
One of the best like Jesse Ventura roles ever.
What was he, a sexual Tyrannosaurus?
Yeah. You know, you have Sonny Landham as Billy, who is my favorite character in the movie.
I've met him too. He's hilarious.
Just because he's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love his last stand.
Oh yeah.
So to speak, when he takes the knife and just, you know. This is a 30-year-old movie. Spoilers, obviously.
If you haven't seen this movie and you're listening to this, go watch it now.
You have,
and then come back.
No kidding. You have Richard Chavez as Poncho, who was great. Shane Black as Hawkins, you know. R.G. Armstrong, who played General Phillips, who, man, every time I see that guy, it's like, oh, that guy.
You know he's going to send somebody on a mission and
get
him killed.
Exactly. And then Kevin Peter Hall was the Predator.
Yeah.
But to go along with the Predator, something I learned this week that Jean-Claude Van Damme played the Predator too, as well.
He was the original Predator. He wore like, it wasn't a blue screen suit because back then they didn't do blue. It was like a red suit. And it was shaped different than what we see the Predator creature as. He's in it, but he's not in it.
Right.
A lot of the stuff, like, because he was, you know, very fit, and that they had him jumping from trees to trees, and, you know, so a lot of the stuff where you see, like, the Predator up in the trees or the Predator jumping is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. It was. I was really interested to learn that.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, there's pictures. I think it might be on that DVD on the extra features.
Oh, okay.
The one that I let you borrow. There are pictures of him in the suit, and it looks very uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. So,
I mean, but yeah, he I think wasn't working out, and they just let him go.
Nah. He was a kid. I mean, he was young.
Well, and it was the thing where during the filming of this movie was when Schwarzenegger married Maria Shriver.
Okay.
So there was like a few weeks where they weren't filming.
Ah.
Because Schwarzenegger went back to California to get married, and all the guys were down there. That's why the bond that seems like between all of them is real, because
They hung out for a couple weeks.
They were hanging out for a couple weeks, and, you know, they said there was a lot of pranking going on.
Oh, I imagine.
Between these guys and that. Like, they said they all clicked, like, right off the bat. So, even Schwarzenegger now. Because Schwarzenegger back then was, you know, he's still the same type of guy where he just is, like, wants to be everybody to be his friend.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So, this movie had a $15 to $18 million budget.
Yeah.
It made $98 million.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you switch that to today's numbers, I mean, you quadruple that almost. So,
I mean, they're still making money off of it, obviously, because, you know, people still buy the Blu-rays and the DVDs. Oh, yeah.
So then you had Carl Weathers, who we talked about for a sec there, but as
Dylan,
man, at no point when Carl Weathers in this movie do I trust him. Which was exactly how you're supposed to feel about that character.
Yeah.
Like, he just did such an amazing job.
Yeah, it's definitely not Apollo.
No, it's the anti-Apollo.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me laugh, though, is how uncomfortable he was out there in the jungle. Like, you know, because...
But the thing was, he had served with this team.
He had, and he had gotten soft, essentially.
Yeah.
And there's the scene
spending
where he kind of...
Spending too much time behind a desk,
when he falls down the hill and Bill Duke's like, if you make another sound, that gives away our tradition... I'm gonna kill you. It was really great. And then
the thing was, and it's one of those things where I would have liked to seen like a comic book backstory, or if there was a backstory that they had wrote for these characters.
Oh yeah.
Cause him and Bill Duke, like, you can tell they didn't like each other.
No, they were just,
like, if
they
were on the team together,
the
it's like
time.
You really didn't like each other before this. It's like, what happened there?
Wait a second. Why don't you guys like each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was that. And then his death was one of the cooler deaths.
Carl Weathers?
Yeah.
The special effects.
So getting his arm shot, part of his arm shot off. And then the gun's
that's
still
Stan
firing
Winston
the whole time.
Studios, man. I mean, that's the thing that has been in all of these movies.
Yeah.
The last two we've recorded. Stan Winston Studios did most of the effects.
Right.
For all three of these, the Aliens, Terminator, Predator. And I'm just like, it's awesome. Yeah. Like, you know, that Stan Winston was a genius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then his team, I mean, there was pictures popping up all day yesterday of them behind the scenes on the Stan Winston Facebook page.
Oh,
and
it's cool.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it was such a good cast that there was no way that this wasn't going to be a fun movie. And like I was talking about, the pacing of this is so good because... Well,
it's because it was literally like written as a military movie with an alien in it.
Well, I think it gets that hunter-prey thing down.
Well,
but then when you realize who the real hunter is,
it's
just... At no point does it feel... cheap or disingenuous or just for shock value.
I want to say this movie was based off of a story called The Most Dangerous Game.
Man.
Well, and that was, that's the whole point of that story, The Most Dangerous Game, is it happens on an island, a ship wreck, a ship has a, you know, sinks, shipwrecked, obviously, and a guy and a girl get off, like they are survivors, come to this island, find a castle on it. I think that's what it was.
It doesn't say anything about that on Wikipedia, but yeah, that doesn't mean that it's not true.
Because I remember watching this either in junior high school or high school because we read The Most Dangerous Game.
Okay.
And, you know, The Most Dangerous Game was made into a movie in the 30s with Faye Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You can go watch that. Obviously, you probably can find it online somewhere. But it literally is that story where the guy in the castle hunts people.
Okay.
And, you know, they did it. What was it?
Rutger Hauer and Ice-T.
Ice-T. Yeah, it's that movie. This was the version where it was like somebody came up with the idea of let's put an alien in there. Because aliens were popular.
All right. So you can't talk about the Predator movie without talking about the actual Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a cool, just of all the movies.
Well, did you see who did the, you know, the noise? Peter Cullen.
Optimus Prime himself.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So he did. He was asked to do the voice, but he didn't know.
Yeah.
What to do. So he just created a lot of clicking and gurgling and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, when you see when the Predator talks at the end, when, you know, he's just mocking everything.
Yeah, he's just mimicking.
It's Peter Cullen. You can actually kind of tell that it's Peter Cullen. And it's like, huh, that's cool. It's like, you know, I seen that in the cast list one time when I was watching. I'm like, really? Optimus Prime played the Predator's voice?
So of all the action movie monsters we're talking about, the Predator is my favorite designed character of all of them. Both in mask and without.
Yeah.
Like with the mask, amazing. Love it. Great.
You're like, what's under that mask?
Without the mask. Terrifying. Awesome. Completely alien.
Right. You know, it's one of those things where
it's a humanoid, but
I think that's what happened with the Jean-Claude Van Damme one. They were like, it's too similar to other things.
Sure. And then they were like, it had like an elongated neck and a bigger head. And
And it was like, you know, that's when they went with the design that is what we see nowadays.
Right. The whole idea of the thermals, like seeing the thermal imagery and stuff was interesting. Which I think in the subsequent Predator movies, that effect was done much better.
Yeah. Just
because technology got better. Yeah, technology and how to do that kind of stuff. Like, I was looking at a thing yesterday. There's a rugged, like, smartphone, and the camera will do thermal imaging. So, like, if you're on a job site and you want to, like, look and see.
I don't know if it was on my current phone or my old phone, there was an app that was called Predator Vision. And it actually was just that thermal.
But I mean, like, this phone, like, will look at, like, you can point at, like, a generator and it'll show you
the heat parts and all
of it. Like, so you can see if a part's overheating.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on this one or not.
Anyway, but it was a cool way to do that.
Yeah, it's on this one.
The thing I had a question.
Yeah.
I have a question about. Does he smell and does he hear? Because.
Hear, yes. Smell, they never like gave you an idea of, like, you know, but he hears things.
I mean, I imagine he hears because he would turn and look.
Like the times when they.
But I didn't know if that was his cool little, like, shoulder mount laser cannon that was, like, just tracking different things. Because he would turn his head and that thing would fire, but then there were times where the shoulder laser would turn and just fire independently.
Well, I think that's part of the story they told was the Predator was depending too much on his weaponry,
right,
and not enough on his skill.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing was, is once all the soldiers had died, who were depending on their weapons,
right.
Dutch just went back to old school and, you know, everything was literally made out of wood and stone and
the strategic,
I'm over here!
the strategic, you know, placement of things and booby traps
once he started confronting the creature realized, wait a minute, he's not using anything.
Right.
And he's using weapons that are just part of the forest and that. And that's where that scene that I was, you know, joking about, he realizes, wait a minute, Oh yeah, there's a trap.
There's a spike.
I think at that point it was like, you know, he knew that he was gonna die.
Yeah,
like that.
You think
that
he knew?
I think that creature at
you
that
don't
point
think
was like
he thought, "Hey, okay, I figured this guy out.
I've got
He's
him
mine now.
I've got him. But if I don't, I'm dead." Mm. And that, you know, that's why, you know, he at the end when he does get beat down, it's like, you know, he knows. He knows, like, and that's where he starts, like, laughing at
him. Dude, that
and,
laugh still haunts yeah. me. Like, I think I saw
and that's
this.
Sonny Landham's laugh.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. It's literally his laugh just they.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's the whole thing where he.
Yeah, he's just mimicking.
Yeah, where Hawkins was telling him the jokes and, like, finally got him to laugh and that, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of the better jokes, but it's a very adult joke.
Yeah, because I think I saw this in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Now I'm a little younger than you, obviously, right. So it's.
I don't remember the first time I seen this one. It had to have been on like HBO or something.
Was this R-rated? This was R-rated.
Yeah, this was.
We rented this when we shouldn't have.
When the blood splashes on the camera, when they kill Bill Duke.
Yeah.
And the blood I'm like, there's not much in that movie where I'm like, ooh, but it's like that one. It was like, because they made the blood so viscous
and
there's
how,
pieces of stuff in it.
Yeah. It had the bits of brain matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
In skull. And so to talk about that, he was pulling out their spinal cords and their skulls.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was spraying them down with, I'm assuming, trophies. Some sort of preservative. Yeah. But you saw he had the skulls lined up, and then there was Bill Duke's skull with the big hole in the head, you know, which was cool. Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing is, like, what's cool about it is the idea that this creature... Obviously, these creatures have been hunting on Earth for a long time.
So, looking at...
Because they hunted the group before, Dutch's group, and, like, strung them up and everything. And
yeah,
it's
that
like,
was
ooh,
gross.
Ooh, man.
So, looking at these, like, this series of movies, right, that we're talking about, if you would have said, hey, what's your favorite one going in?
Yeah.
I probably would have said RoboCop.
Really?
Now, I've watched RoboCop just a couple months ago.
Okay.
But... I forgot how much I enjoyed this movie.
Of all the ones that I've watched the most, this is the one I've watched the most. Yeah. And it's the thing where Stars every few months will have this, but I'll watch it from wherever it is.
Yeah.
Like literally, it could be, you know, the last 10 minutes of the movie and I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this because
I
want to
hear.
This
is the one I have. Exactly. Yeah. This is the one I have the most appreciation for.
Oh, yeah.
I think of the movies we've talked about, this is the one... that does the best at its story.
Yeah.
Right? It's got a specific purpose. It's got a specific story to tell.
Yeah.
It does the best job at telling that story. Whereas I don't think the first two James Cameron movies did the best job at telling the story for those movies.
It was literally, you know, this was John McTiernan's second movie.
Right.
I think his first was like something called Nomads, which I don't think I've ever seen.
I don't think I've ever seen that one either. But he did Die Hard
McTiernan, like James Cameron is a methodical thinker, a machine pretty much himself.
Right.
And very meticulous special effects guy. That's what he did for Roger Corman was a lot of the special effects stuff. And you can tell it in those movies. Whereas with this one, John McTiernan is just a man's man type of guy.
Right.
Where, yeah, that's what we got. We literally got, you know, the guy that to direct this type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so, you know.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was just.
Now you want to talk about the sequels?
We can. Yeah. So Predator 2 is getting retconned out, essentially, or has been retconned out.
I really hope it's not because, I mean, it is a decent movie.
I liked Predator 2.
But do you want to know the story behind Predator 2?
Yeah, but like I love Danny Glover, and that's why I love Predator 2. And Gary Busey. Anytime Gary Busey shows up, makes me happy. All right, tell me
the story. So the story behind this, and Dark Horse based their first Predator miniseries off of what was supposed to be the Predator 2 movie. It was supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger's character's twin brother.
Okay.
They tried to get Arnold to come back and do it, and it was supposed to take place in New York City.
Ah.
And it was supposed to be, like, not 10 years later. It was supposed to be, like, a few months later.
Right.
And he goes looking for his brother because his brother's disappeared.
Ah.
And runs into predators.
Okay.
And literally they invade New York City and... You know, at one point in the comic book story, ships uncloak in the sky, and it's pretty cool. But I mean, the version they did is awesome because, I mean, it's a solid cast too. It's Maria Conchita Alonso, mm-hmm. Ruben Blades, Bill Paxton,
yep.
again, Gary Busey, John from Chuck.
Oh, Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin.
Robert, yeah.
Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a solid cast, and it kind of acknowledges what Kent the McCord. World was. Yeah, Kent McCord.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, he plays the lieutenant and that, captain. But our captain. Yeah.
Of the LAPD.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, it
jumps ahead. Like,
yeah.
It's supposed to be 1997, mm-hmm. and the world's kind of going to crap, and it's one of the hottest summers in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And the Predators are there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I liked when they were in the Predator ship in
showed
this one,
the trophy case.
And seeing the trophy case, you see the Xenomorph, you see a couple of the other kind of like, there's an ET looking one.
I think there's literally one that is from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like one of the skulls is a creature from Jabba's palace.
Yep. And the cool
and then
thing,
the other Predator showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know.
But the cool thing about this is it kind of got that whole like, ooh, aliens versus Predators. Like,
yeah.
To a fever pitch.
Right.
If you will.
Well, and it was the thing where Dark Horse had already done the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, we're going to just put a skull in. And, you know, that's going to be a nod to the comic book.
A nice little Easter egg.
And the people were like, ooh, is that going to be a movie? Like, you know, because they didn't know there was a comic book that already had told an awesome mm-hmm. story. So.
Yeah, so this was Predator 2 was 1990.
Yeah.
And then we had Alien versus Predator in 2004, which was not good.
No.
Not good at all.
Not compared to the original miniseries. No.
And then in 2007, you had Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
Yeah.
Which was better than Alien versus Predator, but
not really.
Still not good. And then 2010, we got Predators.
Yeah.
Which... I went to see that twice in the theater, I believe.
Oh,
which
yeah?
Which was kind of a surprise for me because I like Adam Brody.
Yeah.
I love Topher Grace.
Yeah.
I talk about him all the time. You know, and then it had Walton Goggins in it.
Yeah.
And in 2010, that was kind of the height of the Shield and,
right.
and you know, Justified and that stuff was happening and,
well,
and Sons of Anarchy.
The thing that was cool is Robert Rodriguez produced this, you know, I think he co-wrote it too, and it was one of those things where it was his nod to mm-hmm. McTiernan and to the original Predator movie, and that he wanted to do something totally off the wall, so base it on an alien planet,
mm-hmm.
have predators but have predators versus predators.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, it was cool. I liked it. I mean, from the opening it's like fast paced.
The whole thing where they're waking up as they're falling, and you know,
yeah,
it's
kind of the same. It's kind of like a flipped version of the original Predator movie because none of these people know each other, but they have to work together to figure out what's going on.
You have a like, you know, Topher Grace's character is the big twist,
yeah,
which was so cool that you don't see coming necessarily,
yeah.
like. You get that he's not who he says he
is,
but like you don't get how bad he really is.
Right.
I just
Lawrence Fishburne showing up as a crazy man.
Well, you gotta love Lawrence Fishburne anytime he shows
but
up.
When he plays crazy, it's like that's not Morpheus.
I just watched John Wick 2 finally.
Yeah.
Did you watch it yet?
No.
Lawrence Fishburne's in it.
I knew he was in it.
Oh, it's so awesome. You gotta watch it. So we need to do a John Wick podcast. Like and when we're done with this this one was really, really good. It was fun, it was violent, it was like the characters were great. They had again a great cast. Danny Trejo, he's always awesome. Like, he doesn't pick a lot of crap to be in.
Well, he pretty much does anything Robert Rodriguez asks him to do. So,
but
I mean, he didn't last long in it, so
but
I mean, it was a solid unknown cast, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Anna Braga.
Nobody knew who she was.
I mean, Adrian Brody. Yeah,
he was fresh off the Oscar nod.
Right.
I don't know if he'd won it yet.
Yeah.
You know, Topher Grace was trying to distance himself from that '70s show
and that Spider-Man 3.
Wow. Spider. They made it.
Yeah. They did.
What? What are you talking about? They did not make a third.
You
Spider-Man
can borrow
movie.
It too. I have that.
They
one
did
too.
Not make a third Spider-Man movie. You're insane.
Yep.
So anyway,
oh, did both Spider-Mans stop at the second one?
Yep.
Oh,
so okay. Anyway, all right. So then, coming out, you talked about it a little bit. You have The Predator.
Yeah, which
and
is Shane
Black.
Comes
out next year in 2018.
Yeah.
And that's got a pretty great looking cast too. Boyd Holbrook, Olivia Munn, Trevante Rhodes, Keegan-Michael Key, Sterling K. Brown, who, if you guys have not watched This Is Us,
you
go
did,
watch
is
This
Yvonne
Is Us.
Is Yvonne Strahovski listed?
No.
Yeah, she's in it too.
Okay.
I think I pronounced her name or last name right.
Strahovski, yeah. So, who's Chuck? Chuck's lady.
Dexter's lady.
Yeah, that too. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see what Shane...
Thomas Jane.
Yeah,
who
I'm curious
I,
to
I
Shane
love
what
Thomas
Shane
Jane.
Black does. It's supposed to be like a group of mercenaries,
okay.
I guess, and a scientist, and it sounds really weird. So
this takes place between Predator 2 and Predators.
Is that what they're saying?
That's
now?
What they're saying.
Okay.
And it comes out next August.
Wait a minute, is that on Wikipedia saying?
Well,
that?
Yeah.
So take it with a grain of salt.
But apparently James Franco was originally offered the role of Boyd Holbrook's character.
Okay.
Which either one,
that's
I'm
fine.
Happy.
Yeah.
But as Quinn McKenna.
I'm curious to see what Shane will do with a movie where he got killed by the same creature.
Yeah. And I wonder if it'll be a Christmas movie. Because Christmas is
maybe
a big...
it'll start in Christmas time. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, The Nice Guys has one little scene with Christmas in it. So, you know, if he does that, then that's fine.
I'm just saying, that guy loves Christmas.
It just seems to work for him. Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
Anyway. So
I mean,
there have been there have been some set photos and things like that. They don't have a trailer yet.
Yeah.
And when I say set photos, it's more like the cast just like posing with each other, having fun, mostly on Olivia Munn's Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So,
good place to check. Then I didn't realize
she had a cool picture of her and Jacob Tremblay, the little kid.
Yeah,
and Boyd Holbrook.
Yeah, they're keeping the Predator under wraps.
Yeah, I wonder who. Creature. I wonder who's playing the Predator.
It's probably one of the guys who played the Predator in Aliens versus or in Predators.
Predators, yeah.
I know that, God, what's his name? The guy who played Jason in the last Friday the 13th movie played the original Predator in Predators.
Okay.
So it could be him, too. I mean, you know, Kevin Peter Hall played him in Predator and Predator 2, but obviously a tall basketball player could play the Predator.
The guy that's playing Chewie currently.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Is that who he's playing? I think he was. No. I'm just saying he'd be a good one. So.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm like. It's somebody who's got to be physically fit. So, you know, because it's obviously going to be the same kind of thing. But we'll see.
Cool. Yeah. So there's lots of cool stuff, you know, coming out about this franchise. I think.
I definitely recommend checking out these Dark Horse comics. Too.
Yeah.
I mean, even they're still publishing Predator books up till today. And most of them are pretty solid stories. Yeah. My favorite ones are the original miniseries. And there's one called Big Game that takes place on an Indian reservation.
Oh, cool.
And it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Because it's literally in, a modern day story, but the warrior who fights the Predator pretty much has to use the old ways to fight him. So
you've got Predator versus Batman comics.
Yeah.
Predator and Archie.
Literally just go on to
Did you
the
ever look at the Predator Archie book?
It's goofy.
It's so awesome. Though.
Yeah.
It's so goofy that it's awesome.
Yeah.
Cause you know,
but I mean, you know, it's the same as looking at the Archie versus Punisher book. I mean, you know, they did what they did and it works.
I don't know. That Archie Zombies book is pretty good too.
Oh yeah. So. The horror stuff, the Archie horror stuff is really good. But I'd say just go into Dark Horse or type at Google Dark Horse and there's probably a list out there of all the miniseries. There's been, they've been doing them since the 90s, like the early 90s. They've been doing Aliens and Predator. They've done Terminator.
Yeah.
And they've got good stories because I think people actually had decent ideas. There's a one shot for Terminator. I forgot to mention that on the Terminator episode. There's a one shot called One Shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting, the story is, and it's James Robinson.
Yeah.
And it's when James Robinson was just getting into comics. And, you know, it's a pretty awesome story because it takes place around the same time as the first Terminator movie.
Okay.
And there's a twist in that one, too. So
cool. All righty. Well, hey, that is 1987's classic Predator and its Predecessors. I hate puns so much. So very much.
And yet you do them.
Not often. Anyway. All right. So any last words to add?
I'm over here!
Bye. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodor, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.